when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. Once again, my name is Pastor N.R. Davis. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church here in Manchester, New Hampshire. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry, you can go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. That is theabidinglightchurch.com. You can go and look us up also on the Facebook. We're over here on the west side of Manchester, preaching to you the Word of God. Tune in with us as we go into the sanctuary of the Abiding Light Church. Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 30. We all know this story, but I want to draw some thoughts out of this story. How many know this is a very strange story in terms of the setting? David at this time was, many scholars would debate, I don't believe he was necessarily 100% in the perfect will of God. He was fighting with the Philistines. Now, how many remember the great nemesis to David and the great enemy of David throughout his whole life was the Philistines? Now, you tell me where God, well, he permitted it, of course. David, anointed of God, fighting against Israel. Are you listening? Now, I don't want to get into all the background of this, but I just want to give you a little bit of the setting here. The Philistines knew David was their top enemy. He was the chief of all enemies. He was the one that did them so much damage and brought so much defeat to them. And here he is. He goes back to this place in chapter 30 called Ziklag, which, as I was studying this out and reading upon it a little more, it's about 50 miles from where he was, give or take. That's all, you know, just from historical facts of where he was and where the camps were. So David has some of his choicest men with him. He's not king at this point. Saul, in chapter 31 of 1 Samuel, will commit suicide and be literally finished off. He falls on his sword and the rest of his sons do. So in this chapter 30, Saul is actually still king. And David is coming back to Ziklag, and many of his, you know, his wives and his children and all of the young ones are there in Ziklag, and this is the town, the little city, whatever you want to call it, that David had been given at this point to keep his families, of him and all of his men, all of these great warriors that were with David. David at this point was fighting with the Philistines, but the Philistine leaders said, listen, we're not going to have him fight in this battle with us. Send him home to Ziklag. Now at this point, while David was away, in this text and in this story, you know, the Amalekites, which is always in the Bible, God hates the Amalekites. You read about the history of the Amalekites in your own time. They're the ones that fought dirty. They're the ones that would take advantage of the elderly and the sick and just wipe them out and kill them. We've still got people that take advantage of old men and old women and break into their homes and kill them. And we're seeing some of that going on in the Middle East right now, where you got armed men with guns going in and just slaughtering people. Are you listening to me? Amen. Helpless people that have no way to defend themselves. Killing. You got to be wicked and full of demons to kill children that are hiding under beds, to kill old men and old women that literally can't really defend themselves, and you just walk up and slaughter them. I mean, you got to be full of a nasty murdering spirit to do that type of stuff. The Amalekites in this situation, though, even though they were that brutal, somehow God stayed their hand, and as David was gone, headed on home, the Amalekites come into the camp of Ziklag, and what happens? They take all of David's family and all of the families of David's men, and they took them as slaves and captives. They burnt everything. They took all of the animals. They took all anything worth of value, what we would call in the Bible spoil. And they took it all. And the Bible says here that David's men, as they were coming home, I could imagine as they got a few miles out from Ziklag, they could see the smoke billowing up and wondering what is going on. How many of us know you can see some smoke from a little ways away? And I never forgot years ago when I was a young boy and we had all of our personal belongings staying out at my grandfather's house in Mesa, Arizona. And we see this smoke burning way, way off. We were in Mesa at the time, I think traveling or driving. And, you know, you always wonder, I wonder what's burning over there. Now, here you don't get to see it as much because you got a lot of hills and valleys. But out in the flatland states of our country, like Arizona in this portion, you could see the smoke billowing up. And I remember this memory and this photogenic memory, if you will, of seeing that smoke, and come to find out that was all of our personal belongings that my father, we were in transition moving into another home, and we had stored it in one of my grandfather's little garage areas. All of our clothes and our pictures and all of our family belongings was being burnt up. So the smoke that I was seeing was everything that we owned, everything that we knew and had as a family was literally going up in flames. And I'm sitting there seeing the smoke, and I never forgot that image. So when I read this story, I know the feeling of when something's burning, that means someone's life and memories and all that they have is going up in smoke. How many of us know fire is destructive? It can wipe out things real quickly. And it destroys all the memories of the belongings that it burns up. And so when David and his men come into Ziklag, they see this smoke. They see all of this burning embers and fire. And the Bible says these men were tired, no doubt, from the journey and from fighting. And they see that all their sons, daughters, and wives have been taken captive by the Amalekites. And the Bible says that the men of David got so angry. How many of us know when drastic things happen, someone's always got to get the blame? Amen. You get people that have drastic situations happen in a family or in your life, we're looking to blame somebody. How many of us know that's just the way that it is? And unfortunately, in this situation, David, because he was the leader, he was getting blamed because of all that had taken place with the children getting kidnapped, their wives. See, these men were coming home and they were looking forward to coming home to be with their families. I don't know about you, but I like coming home to my wife and family. Amen. I enjoy that. You know, when as you get older, you realize the most important relationships in this world are those that you are the closest to. And I'll tell you, I told you last week, it's the relationships. These are more valuable than anything. So you could imagine the hearts of David's men as they came up on the scene in Ziklag, and all of their loved ones are gone. And now David is literally, you could imagine the feeling as a leader, blaming himself. I never should have taken this long away from home to go fight for the Philistines. And I'm sure he began to try to, in his mind, figure out what is he going to do. And then it dawned on David, I need to seek God because all of my men, they're so angry read, they want to stone me to death. I mean, the Bible says these men, these warriors, these great army men with David, they were literally crying to the point where they had no more physical ability or power to cry. Now, that's some crying right there. But you could imagine you coming home and your home is burned up. You don't know where your wife is. You don't know where your children are. Everything is gone. Literally, the enemy has come in like a flood. You don't know if they're dead. You don't know if they're alive. You don't know if they're being raped. You don't know if they're being murdered or tortured. Amen. But brothers and sisters, this is a picture of what sin does. This is a picture. Amen. If you study in the Old Testament, the Amalekites are a type of the flesh. I'm going to get to where I need to go, but I want to set this real good for you and really start to grab your emotions. Amen. To understand the atmosphere in Ziklag wasn't too good. David was the one that was to blame for the loss of all these men. And you don't tell me that these men who would literally do anything for David at his command now are ready to turn and betray him and turn their back. And this is the type of things that where the emotional floods of life will come in, and you don't know who will turn their back on you when they're put in a position of emotional despair and literally hopelessness. Where are my sons? Where are my daughters? David, you're the one that is to blame for this. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, could you imagine the atmosphere of a lot of all these grown men, 400 to 600 men weeping and crying, wondering if their children and their wives are even alive. The Bible says here, David went in verse 8 and inquired of the Lord. Hallelujah. It came to pass when David, verse 1, when David and his men came to Ziklag the third day. This is 1 Samuel 30 and 1. And his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, and the Amalekites had invaded the south of Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captive, and they were there, and they slew not any of them. I want you to take notice. They didn't kill them. But David's men and them, when they came up on Ziklag, didn't know this. Either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him, the men that were with him, lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Verse 6, for time's sake, these men were greatly distressed, and David, being the leader, was so distressed for the people, the men, his own. Some of his best friends spoke of what? Killing him. You got to be pretty angry and mad. But I told you, you'd be amazed who will turn on you when situations like this happen. We live in a time where people cannot be trusted. Amen. You don't have to say amen. I'm realizing if people ain't got their hearts right with God, they're out for themselves. I ain't going to talk about that much, but I'm telling you, we're in a time where the Bible says in Matthew 24 that they are going to betray one another. Many of you have been betrayed. And you know, betrayal can only take place by someone that you are intimately close with. Strangers don't betray you. You could care less because there's no investment in the relationship. There's no long-term invested time into this relationship. There's no feelings, emotions of love and care for this individual. So understand, betrayal narrows it down to a small group of people that is within the inner circle of your life. Those are the ones that can hurt you the worst. David's men, who he had bonded with, he'd fought with on the battlefield, now because of they've lost their wives and their sons and daughters, and they're not sure if they're dead or alive, and because the Amalekites, we know, of course, that they're alive, but these men didn't know what was going on, and now they're looking for someone to blame, and someone's going to have to pay for what has happened to my sons and my daughters and my little ones and my wives. Somebody say, greatly distressed. You know, one thing none of us like is stress. But what about when you're in a position and you're greatly distressed? See, there's a lot of people that love the thought of being anointed like a David, anointed like a king, someone with great power and authority and the rule of people under them. But do you understand there comes great responsibility when you've been given great authority? To whom much is given, much is what? And that's why we've got to understand the more you are given by God and those that are up under you. Amen. You got to understand there's a certain level of pressure. There's a certain level of responsibility that you have the care of people literally under you. You're a father, you're a mother. Even though they're out of your home, you still have a certain amount of covering for your sons and your daughters. And let me tell you something. I told you one of the way the enemy attacks, if he can't always get at you, he's gonna get to you by somebody that you love very much and that is close to you in your home. The Bible says here, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was what? They were what? Grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Hallelujah. In verse 7, David goes to Elimelech's son and he says, Abiathar, and he tells him, give me the ephod, which is a way that God would give him instruction. In verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop, and shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them. This is the word of the Lord, and without fail recover all of them. The Bible says, and David went with 600 men that were with him. They came to this brook, and there was a couple hundred men that just didn't have the strength. They just didn't have the physical, the mental, to really, really go and fight the Amalekites. So David told the 200, you stay here. You get yourself recuperated. And when we come back, we'll come back. And David's heart was to share the spoil with them, even though they did not go fight. Amen. But the Bible says here in verse 10, but David pursued. Somebody say, David pursued. In verse 10, and he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind that were so faint that they could not go over the brook. How many of us know there's some people been fighting a long time, a lot of battles, and they just don't feel like they can go anymore? Have you ever been there in life where you just don't feel like you can fight anymore? So maybe it's mental tiredness. Maybe it's physical. Maybe you're just a little bit of both, where you just don't feel, amen, you've been fighting and fighting and fighting, and you just don't feel like you can go anymore. I want to tell you today, look at somebody and say, keep on fighting. Because you got to understand that the battles that we're fighting, they're not all together against flesh and blood. We are now in a spiritual battle. This has given us a physical setting, actually, to teach us many things about the spiritual realm. This Old Testament gives us a lot of physical stories and circumstances, situations of the way God moves. But now we, under the dispensation of grace in Christ that came to the cross of Calvary to set, amen, humanity free from the powers of death, hell, and the grave, and break the strongholds of the curse of sin. David here, you can preach this in many ways, where David was like a type of Christ. He went, amen, to set his loved ones free, his captives free, his sons and daughters free. David was a mighty man of God, but understand, David at his lowest point needed a word from God. He wasn't sure what to do. And I told you, if David, a man of God, who no doubt loved God and was anointed of God, needed a word from God in this serious situation, how much more do we, as the people of God, in this day and hour, listen, how many of us know we're living in some perilous times today? We are living in some dangerous times, physically and spiritually. And if there's ever been a time before before we ever step out into a battle or set off in a direction of life, we better get a word from God before we do anything. Because listen, the devil ain't playing with this generation. He's bringing out everything he has, amen, to kill, steal, and to destroy this generation. And he's playing for keeps. He wants to destroy this generation. But understand something, Christ has a plan for this generation. We look in our setting how David got a word from the Lord. In verses 18 of 1 Samuel 30 and 18, and David in verse 18 of 1 Samuel 30 recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing, somebody say nothing, lacking to them. This is verse 19, neither small nor great, neither son nor daughters, neither spoil. Everything that they had taken, amen, anything that they had taken to them, David recovered every bit of it. Now understand something. We like to preach as preachers, and we like to, as believers, read this story and say, I'm going to get it all back. Well, the fact is, there's some things you ain't getting back. Come on now, somebody. There are some situations and some things that you've lost. And it's gone, and unless God does it, there's probably no way you're going to see recovery of some things. But I'm talking about lives here. I'm not talking about material things. I'm not talking about that house they repossessed altogether. God can give you a better house. God can give you a newer car. God can, come on now, somebody, amen. And you got some people today praying for better things like husbands and wives. The devil is a liar, amen. You got to keep the one God gave you, amen. And live with your choice. Glory be to God. Amen. We're looking at a generation of adultery today where people are divorcing for some of the stupidest reasons. Amen. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you where a real marriage is made. It's made when we're going through some things, where we're going through some tough times. Amen. And I want to encourage somebody today to let you know, you may have lost some physical things, but the real precious things that God and you should be concerned about more than anything are your sons and your daughters and your husbands and your wives. These are what is precious to God more than anything, are the souls of men. This is what Christ came to die for, was for the souls of humanity. I'm encouraged today, despite all that's going on in this world, in our government, on Wall Street, in our cities. There are things that are going on that we don't even want to know that are going on. If we were to know the things that the enemy is doing behind the scenes, he comes to do three things. What? Kill, steal, and to destroy lives. And if we begin to get our eyes upon what the enemy is doing and the fruit of his darkness and what he is bringing to pass, brothers and sisters, you will get stressed out. You will get discouraged. You will get fearful. You will get afraid. But I'm going to tell you today, despite all that's going on within the governments of the world and within our families and the bad news we're getting, we're looking at the media and there's no good news, but I'm here to tell somebody today, amen, that Jesus Christ has got a plan for his church. The Bible says he's going to build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I preached it a while ago that gates of hell are not going to prevail against the true family of God, against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are the ones that are going to see God bring a great work of restoration and recovery. I know it looks like we've lost a lot and the enemy's come in and destroyed many of our loved ones, but I'm here to encourage somebody today to let you know, be encouraged, brother. Be encouraged, brothers and sisters. God's going to bring a time and a season of recovery where we're going to recover those precious things that we have lost to the enemy. I want you to understand that, amen, your sons and daughters are still alive. They have hope. If your husband is alive, he has hope. If your wife is alive and breathing, she still has hope. Somebody say, he saves to the uttermost. He rescues the perishing. And brothers and sisters, I want you to know, I don't care how far away from God they seem to be, there is no place that God cannot reach them. There is no valley that He cannot pull them out of. Going to be encouraged today, because my God is not finished with His plan. I know it looks bleak. I know Ziklag's on fire. I know the enemy wants you to believe that the world is going to hell in a handbasket, but I want to tell somebody today, God's not done with His plan. He's not finished with His church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we begin to close this radio broadcast, I want to remind you, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. This is Pastor N.R. Davis. I'm the pastor of the Abiding Light Church on the west side of Manchester. If you'd like to go to our website, you can go to it at theabidinglightchurch.com. We would be so delighted to hear from you. We would be so encouraged to know that those of you that have listened today have been encouraged by the Word of God. Once again, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. I want to just let you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Until next Saturday, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.
When man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved His love to him when He sent His only Son. Then He came to be that sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary. He'll come through for you, no matter what you're going through. He's always right. So